The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 456. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? Are you ready to get Spider-Man?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
All right, you're just getting us forward now. We don't know where anybody else is.
You know, because daylight savings time happened again.
Did it? I thought we got rid of that shit, you know?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I got a text from Adam.
He's still doing review work. Okay, so he's busy with review. Yeah, I mean, it is review season, so he's been busy.
Yep.
Busy man.
As they call it, Game-ageddon.
Game-ageddon.
He said, I need to get this review for tomorrow. If not, Rich is going to fire me.
You know? That's funny. I like Blitz. When is Microsoft going to acquire Throwdown? I don't know, man. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. You know,
I'll say this.
Yeah, right. Oh shit!
I will say this. If they acquired us for about as much as they bought Activision, yeah. I don't know if we could leave that up, man.
Yeah.
Split it all between the crew. Fuck that.
Nah, they're gonna pay as a $150, you know?
Yeah, that's not a reasonable amount, then we won't sell.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we are not gonna get billions though, but yeah, man, no. Back with another one. I wanna give a special shout out to Mr. Barry Burton. I hung out with him yesterday outside of Comic Cons, you know. Very gracious of you, sir, because dude, I went over there and I was like, oh fuck, I forgot my badge. So I was hanging out with my homie George. We went to a bar and stuff, you know, drinking and stuff, and Barry was done, you know, so he came over, we hung out for a good while, and I used his badge, you know, so good times all around, you know.
Nice.
But yeah, Comic-Con is.
Yo, man, how you leaving your badge somewhere, man?
Because I forgot it, you know. Because the thing is, like, that day I had to deal with extra stuff because it was raining. So I was like, oh, let me get my.
Oh, you left it at the house.
I left it at the crib. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you left it at the show.
Oh no. Before I left, this is how my mind works. Is like, okay, I have to do this one thing, and the thing was get the badge. But then it was like, oh, rain jacket is raining. That overrode the badge. You know? No. So now I have two badges. It's hilarious. But yeah, Comic-Con's kind of back to normal, I would say. You know, it's just interesting the evolution of the New York one specifically. It was a actual Comic-Con about comics, then it morphed into, I would call it, a nerd con about all general nerd stuff. Now I would call it, you know, just like the San Diego one's pop culture con, where it's just like everything there. It's like, what the fuck does Grubhub have a booth for? It's like, what are we doing here? You know?
Yeah, it's weird. It's interesting seeing what companies pay for what booths somewhere. The way New York Comic Con started, yeah, it was a comic book con, Comic Con more about the comics and the artists and the creators beforehand. And then once they've got all that stuff, remember the Comic Con back in the day used to not fill up all of the Jacob Javits Center. It only filled up one of the little rows on the bottom of the convention.
Yeah, it was smaller back then.
Back in the day. Really small artist alley, just one of those little rooms down there. And then years went on, they started getting bigger, but they were never still able to fill up the whole convention until they booked both the anime show at the same time. And remember, that's when they both took over the Javits Center. So the top part was all the, you know, was all the Comic-Con part. And then they had a separate section for the anime show. And it went on that for like maybe at least two years. And then they just absorbed it all. And it just became that one show, New York Comic-Con.
Pretty crazy. Kish that goes, is Tony in a new room? A bit of echo. No, same room I've been in for the past year. New mic, and this is very sensitive, so it captures the echo. So Manny and I tried to put some soundproofing or whatever, but you know, didn't take. So it is.
It didn't work. I mean, here's the thing. Like his place has a very high ceilings.
Yeah.
So you can get like a lot of, unless he starts putting up like more things on the walls and stuff like that, that will dampen down the thing. Like we probably needed to put more
of those put more things stuff.
Up throughout the house, throughout the place, but you know.
Work in progress, you know? Also, Kishak, my mic went all the way up, so that probably didn't help matters either, you know? Thank you, Logitech app for that. Anyway, we are here with some of your questions. Kind of a grab bag this week. Not anything that's like, you know, like there's no theme. So we're just going to go right into it. Jay Shep starts us off. He goes, I'm a huge JRPG fan, particularly turn-based. I've noticed recently that at least 90% of the JRPGs I've played have plots that involve wars of some kind. Is this a JRPG thing or a Japan thing? The thing is with JRPGs and RPGs in general, they always try to have like the big, large scale story. So, you know, war is usually like the end product. So I don't think that's a new thing. That's been a thing forever, you know?
It's like either, it's either like a world ending event or some sort of giant war or both. Cause Final Fantasy, what was that? Final Fantasy, what was that? There was like, there's a world, there's like three world ending events that happening where it was like, you know, with the, you know, the infection of Genova inside of the life stream. Then there's meteor, you know, coming to hit the planet to infect everybody on the planet. Then there's the war between, the Shinra Corporation and its corruptness. So there's quite a bit of a world, you know, like wars and world ending events all happening at once in that world.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's why like Persona kind of stood out. It's like, oh, it's not world ending shit. It's high school stuff, you know, and kind of more scale.
It's high school stuff, but it's weirdly like somehow connected to some sort of, not a world-ending event, but like something that has to do with it, that would affect the world, right? Like that, like Dream World or whatever, Noctis or whatever the hell that is. That's like the hidden like will of people. You know what I mean? Like that game, like yeah.
Yeah, it's a collective unconsciousness and stuff. So it's high
concept.
Yeah,
it's a collective unconscious.
Yeah. But yeah, that's one of the exceptions. Usually there is some, like Manny said, some world-ending thing, some big thing that's going on. That's why usually wars are pretty prevalent. Not just in JRPGs, JRPGs in general. There's exceptions, obviously. But, you know, if you're going to get a big-scale thing, war's going to do that, you know? So I don't think it's a new thing. It's always been around.
There, I mean, here's the thing. Like, there always has to be some sort of antagonist. It may not be an actual person, but it could also just be a conflict that could be the antagonist of the situation. I mean, like the last Final Fantasy, there is an antagonist, but there is also that all those other sort of corrupted governments in that world. So
Witcher 3 had a war, Final Fantasy Tactics, you go back to a lot of the early ones had, but,
here's the question. It's like, would you play a game that wasn't about any sort of world-ending event or some sort of war? Well, where's the conflict?
Well, there is, Persona has conflict. That's not a world-ending thing.
No, I'm saying, though, there is still some conflict, but I mean, there is still some sort of larger, you know, that world, like, there's some sort of larger impact that world has on their world, right? With that app and everything, right?
Yeah. I mean, so, in general, you need conflict for stories, but, you know, with JRPGs, for them, how, because they're always big in scale, so they need, you know, something impactful, you know? So what I want to know is, like, why, I don't know why he thinks it's a recent thing. It's like, it's been like that from the jump.
No, it's been like that forever. Like, you could go into any sort of, like, any of the Final Fantasies, even back to the one. It's like there was always some sort of, you know, big conflict or some sort of world-ending god event that you and your people either figure out or you're trying to stop at the same time. Stuff like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not a new thing.
They'll make a new Final Fantasy game where everybody's just hanging out on the beach like, you know, I'm a little tired right now. I think I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. Shout out to Chris who just showed up. What's going on, Chris?
Yo.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yo, man, I hear it's hot down there, man.
Hot? No.
Yeah.
It was the high was like 72 today. I'm grateful. Oh, okay. It felt like fall for the first time. Like it was 58 degrees this morning. I went out, mowed the lawn and everything, and I wasn't like melting. Right? It was great.
Yeah. But anyway, Chris, you showed up in time because the next two questions here from J-Ship are about Nintendo. Very interesting.
Nintendo.
All right.
Is it a cereal now?
Maybe it is a cereal. All right. Next question here. I'm not sure if Nintendo's co-sign for Xbox has allowed Microsoft to leapfrog Nintendo in second place or not. I guess time will tell. Assuming Nintendo stays put, what would Nintendo have to do to move up to first place in the console market? I'm not asking if they will, but how could they do this? So he's just basically asking how could they become number one?
Oh, the strategy? Yeah. Well, I think Nintendo has three problems. You have to attract people to co-purchase. Like if they're already in Sony's camp or Microsoft's camp, what are those things offering that Nintendo's not? Well, a decent console for one thing. They need to have a more powerful system, and they're not going to win those guys over. You're not going to win PC market over. You're not going to win over PlayStation and Xbox players because the type of games that they play and the type of graphics fidelity and stuff they're expecting is not going to be provided by Nintendo, not unless they make a major paradigm shift in how they design their systems and what kind of hardware they pick. They always go for kind of cheaper, older market hardware, right, to cut costs. And Manny's talked about this before, and it's true. And I've talked about this. Like, speaking with PowerPC, well past PowerPC's life, while everybody moved on to x86 architecture and they were still using PowerPC, that's just a move to keep costs low for them. But it was a terrible move because PowerPC was a dead platform. I mean, yeah. Everyone dropped it. Apple dropped it. Sony, Microsoft dropped it. Everyone dropped it. So, you know, and they stuck with it. And then so now on the Switch, you have an NVIDIA Tegra. What NVIDIA already was way past the Tegra with the Tegra 2, and they already had made enhancements to that. And Nintendo opted to have them build off of the first one and put enhancements on that instead of using the newer one. So you could have had a more powerful Switch out of the gate. And they also were only going to put 4 gigs of RAM in the initial Switch system. It was Capcom who talked to them and told them, listen, we can't develop anything for you if you do this, right? That's a mistake. That's why it has 8 gigs. That's why it's the way it is now. So they don't have a good strategy for hardware to compete in that area. The second thing they have to do is the Switch kind of stumbled out because they were desperate after the Wii U. So their game releases were all over the place. They were exploding in some areas with big titles, and then you'd have big lulls where they had nothing going on. They need a consistent strategy of putting out their IPs and second-party IPs to bolster each other. And they used to have that in the Wii days and the 3DS and whatever. The Switch kind of stumbled. They'd be like, oh, here's Animal Crossing, and then it's like 8 months of nothing. And then Pokemon. Oh, another Pokemon this holiday, right? For the last, 5 years? So it's Pokemon in the holiday, and then stumbling out whatever you can. So they need a strategy to schedule their IPs out where they bolster their sales, right? They keep interest. They keep engagement. The last thing you want is for people to come disengaged. The disengaged players will just move on to something else, right? They'll either invest in a PlayStation or an Xbox, PC, a Steam Deck, whatever, and they're not coming back, right? So and there's always new gamers all the time. Those, even if you bring in new gamers, you don't want those people to get disengaged, right? You can't count on like, oh, we'll just get more people in. That's a mistake. That's a mistake the movie industry is making. You can't do that. You have to keep people engaged. You need a consistent schedule of releases to keep people interested in the product. And then some of those releases have to cross over and pull in new players and already existing gamers. It can't be all Wii Fit and kind of these lifestyle games. They have to be. You have to try more hardcore stuff, right? And the situation's like, okay, so you probably say, well, they did Bayonetta 3. And it's like, well, nobody cared because A, it looked like ass. You know, it's again going back to the hardware problem. And B, it's like that. I haven't touched that game since the first one when it was multi-platform, right? I played it on Xbox.
Yeah.
So you have to have they have to generate those things. And they have second-party studios. You have to generate more content that can appeal to a more hardcore audience. I'm not saying they have to make a Call of Duty or a Division or anything like that. But you can't just swing the other way and it's like, all right, all family-friendly, just Mario's. And, you know, the darkest thing we're going to do is a Metroid. Like, man, it's not really pushing the boundaries. You don't have a full spectrum there. You're still leaning on one orientation of gamers, and then also evergreen titles, also trying to bring in, also trying to make gamers out of like wine moms and stuff, which is not a good strategy. So yeah, those things they need to do, I think would get them more success. To take number one, that's hard though. I don't know.
I don't
even
see
if
that
they
happening.
Did those things, I don't see that happening.
No.
I'm just telling you what they could do to improve right now. But to overtake Sony, I don't. That's not going to happen. That would take a miracle on top of what I said.
Yeah, it's not going to happen because, you know, I mean, you put it pretty eloquently right there. It's like Nintendo caters to they're not a niche audience, obviously, but they're a very different type of audience than like the PlayStation and Xbox audience. Xbox and PlayStation, they do share the same similar audience, but PlayStation is just a little bit more general, you know, and they also have that name recognition for decades. Nintendo obviously does too, but again, they cater to a different crowd than the PlayStation guys. The power thing is a big fucking problem. You know, like they're always like a generation or two behind. So, you know, guys like me and you, we're like, no, we're not messing with that shit. And then the games are just, you know, not all their games are kiddie games, obviously, but they are more family friendly games. They're not like for everybody. They're for a very specific type of people, you know. So Nintendo will, you know, continue being successful unless they fuck up like the Wii U. But being first place, yeah, that's not happening. Not happening at all.
And it's, I just had one more thing. That's gotten more difficult with the advent of the Steam Deck. And then Tony's reviewed stuff like the Legion Go.
Yeah.
You have competition in this handheld market with handheld PC hardware, right? That is way more powerful than the Switch. Even if they made a Switch Pro, I doubt it would be as good as the Steam Deck is. And Steam Deck's already, what, 2 years old?
Yeah, the Steam Deck's already outdated. And it'll still be better than whatever Nintendo decides to put out.
Right. So that just got much harder for them. They'd have a difficult, if they made a set-top box again, they'd have a difficult time competing with Sony and Microsoft. And if they stick with the handheld console, again, you have stiff competition. Also, Steam can undercut them on the games because a lot of they keep leasing independence from Steam, right? They're like, they're filling their library with the same type of games you can get on Steam, but you're paying Nintendo tax on them. Steam is offering those games way cheaper, the same fucking game. So why wouldn't you just get a Steam Deck?
Yeah, exactly. Blitz says, I think you guys overestimate how much pull power has outside the hardcore. No, think about it like this, right? What was one of the reasons that Final Fantasy VII sold so well? I'm talking about the original one, because nothing looked like that. How do you get graphic like that? You need power for that. Like the games that always sell the most are the most graphically intensive games, right? Yes, there's obviously Nintendo games are their own thing, but like, you need power to sell to like a vast audience, you know, instead of just like these kind of simpler like graphics and stuff. You know, obviously AAA graphics are not necessary for success, but they fucking help, you know?
Go
ahead, Carlos, and then Manny, you go.
The whole thing with third party, I mean, Sony and Microsoft are making droves of money on microtransactions for third-party games that they don't even develop, but they curate for them in their systems. And, you know, whenever the new Call of Duty comes out, you know it's not going to come out on Nintendo. Well, I guess technically with the deal, it'll kind of come out, but most of them are going to be played on the Xbox and PlayStation. And the other games, third-party games like Assassin's Creed, all the other ones that, like, Sony and Microsoft, whenever those games are sold and whenever they sell microtransactions, they get a cut.
Yeah,
and Nintendo doesn't make any of it, so they make most of their money on console sales and their first party games.
Yeah, most games on Xbox and PlayStation sold are third party games. You know, like you said, Blitz. We're not saying power is the only factor. We're saying it's a major factor, and it's a major factor Nintendo lacks, lacks. You know,
it's a major factor because if Nintendo was on par with power, then you know Call of Duty would be on a Nintendo system.
Yeah, you
it's
can't.
Proof.
You can't have these big third-party games because the power isn't there. Bliss also says, "Why is Xbox not in the top-selling console since they've always had the most power?" Not true. Not true. During the PS2 era, the GameCube, believe it or not, was actually it was like on par with the Xbox. PS2 was lower. 360 era. On paper, the PS3 was actually more powerful, but since it was easier to develop games on the 360, games looked better. But if you notice, the first-party games on PS3 that were developed, specifically for PS3, looked way better than any Xbox game, right? Xbox One, completely underpowered, right? And then with the current console, graphically on paper, it has an advantage. But since PlayStation is faster, you know, because of the SSD, it kind of evens things out. So they don't have a distinct power advantage. You know, their problem is the other thing, games. You know, that's the thing they're lacking. Games is the main thing that's keeping Nintendo really afloat, because despite the fact that they release these underpowered systems, people like their games because you can't get games like that anywhere else, you know, for their specific audience.
They're fully taking advantage of the exclusivity card, the one thing that they're, you know, the one thing that they're their strongest suit. So yeah, if they're developing for an environment that doesn't need them to essentially spend billions of dollars on high fidelity graphics, they're literally developing equivalent to, you know, PlayStation 4 or was it? No, not PlayStation. It's like PlayStation 3, right?
PlayStation 3. Yeah.
They're developing equivalent to something along the lines of a PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 era game in the modern age. So they don't need to invest in, you know, obviously, you know, 4K pipelines and all that other stuff. I mean, most of their games are running in the space of 1080 to 720.
Yeah.
Blitz said that.
Go ahead, Carlos.
He said, so just saying they can't be successful because they don't play the power card is false. No one's saying that. They're already successful.
No.
What we're saying is they're missing major component of to be successful. They're missing that because as you know, Carlos just illustrated, if you don't have power, you can't get these third party games. You know?
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, the third party is not part of their cycle.
It isn't, because like, you're right. Obviously, think about it like this, right? If third parties, this is hypothetical, so sorry about that. If third parties dropped off a PlayStation and Xbox, those two consoles would be pretty fucking, they would be hurt a lot. If all third parties have Nintendo, it wouldn't fucking matter, you know? Yeah. It really wouldn't matter.
Because, you know, like, number one, it's like obviously, yeah, like, if they wanted to have an environment that was more, you know, a generation that was more dependent on third parties, they obviously, you know, to essentially bolster how many games that they put out, yeah, you would want a more of a powerful console to sort of, you know, fill in those gaps, like PlayStation and Sony. I'm excusing the PlayStation and Xbox, sorry. But, like, see, with Nintendo, again, like, you have lower budgets for your games. The biggest budget game that they put out was, you know, considerably was the latest Breath of the Wild, you know, Zelda game, right? Where they said they supposedly did all this additional work on top of it, so they said they wanted to get more money for it. But in general, their budgets are not very high for most of their games. So they can put out, like, you know, essentially two generation ago games, you know, and the fan base is perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's like, I don't know what the rumors are saying about the new Nintendo, but I don't imagine it being that much of a power, that much more powerful.
The rumors are saying it's comparable to PS4, which makes sense. You know?
Well, yeah. So in other words, they're always going to be like two or one generation behind as those as it becomes cheaper to develop for those types of environments.
Yeah. They're always going to be behind. Yeah.
It's working for them.
It is. You know? It's working for them.
They got you paying $70 for games.
Yeah.
Right.
That are PS3 games. You know. So
that are essentially, you know, PS3 games. So, you know. And nobody ever, everybody seems to just question it and just eat it up.
Yeah,
so,
it's Nintendo. Nintendo has that hold on the fans, you know. I mean, the fans just take it, you know.
I think a lot of us, we do have very much a nostalgia for that. And, you know, a lot of people who play those have a lot of nostalgia for those things. And I feel like, you know, it's hard, like in a lot of cases, it can be difficult to see past the nostalgia goggles.
Yeah.
You know? But again, they're putting out good games, and the people that are that love the
good games that aren't broken for the most part.
There are good games that aren't broken.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Pokemon game aside, like when you get that when you get a Nintendo game, you know that shit's gonna work. You know.
Yeah. So you know it's gonna they're not you know, other than like maybe some frame rate issues. I know that Zelda has a lot of issues with that. Yeah. But you know, other than they pretty much they work. You know, they're not their open worlds aren't, you're not falling through dimensions and all kinds of other stuff. So, you know, it's working for them.
Yeah.
But again, if they, but like I don't think everything hinges on like just like how Sony was essentially losing their shit that fucking Xbox was gonna get like get Activision because. You know, that's they depend on the third parties to bolster their between their big budgety things as well as the independent the division.
Yeah, for sure.
Same with Xbox, though.
Yeah. All right. Next question, also by Nintendo. I saw a graphic that showed Nintendo has only acquired one developer since 2018 while still being able to create its own IPs and firmly holding on to second place in the console market. I know they won't get a pat on the back, but I don't think. But don't you think it's remarkable what they've been able to do without consolidating the industry?
Well, the thing about again, they're what is their strong suit? Their software,
first party, yeah.
The game, well, their first party game.
That is inaccurate.
Uh-oh.
They acquired Next Level Games in 2021, and they brought in SRD, which was system research and development guys that they worked with second party, in, you know, since the 80s. They acquired them in 2022.
Right, so there you go.
They have made acquisitions.
Yeah.
They're pretty big deal. I mean, Next Level Games made Luigi's Mansion, the third one, and they bought them, and that was 2021. I don't know who they acquired in 2018. I don't know what he's referring to.
Yeah, neither do I.
But everybody makes studio acquisitions. You can't say like they're operating in this like vacuum where they're just acquiring talent and developing. They've made lots of acquisitions over the years. Monolith Soft, you know, there's
Next Level, Chris, examples. Was the one listed in 2018.
No, that was 2021, I think. I don't think it was 2018. Yeah,
let's look that up. Unless the graphic got fucked up. But, you know, I'm not going to give Nintendo credit for that, you know.
Yeah, everybody does it. It's, you know, Manny said their strength is their software. Obviously, if they can get talent in that area, they're going to do it, right? They skimp on the hardware, but they don't. They don't do that with software. They usually do pretty good. They got to get their scheduling in order, though. They got to get their development schedules, and you know, right. But other than that, you know, what can I say? I'm not understanding the question. Like, they get a pat on the back, or they don't get a pat on the back. Yeah,
I guess they get a pat on the back because they didn't have to acquire a bunch of additional studios.
Also, we gotta take into account Nintendo. Out of the three companies, makes the least amount of money.
Yeah.
So they don't have the funds to acquire what definitely do what Microsoft does, but even that the level of Sony does. So it's a pat on the back, but not because they wouldn't do it. It's because they don't have the means like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why.
I don't see why it would be a pat on the back to begin with. Like, oh, you didn't acquire some things. Like, I'm sorry, I know some people are not going to like to hear this. Acquisitions aren't bad in and of themselves, you know. So I don't understand why Nintendo should get a pat on the back because they haven't acquired as much as Microsoft. That's silly, you know. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Chris.
You know, that's like saying in baseball. The Yankees should be disqualified from ever competing in the World Series because they're able to acquire more talent than other teams.
Yeah.
Because they have a bigger budget, right? That's silly. They're all playing baseball at the end of the day just because one team has the capital to make you know, better trades. You know, doesn't change anything. And just go, well, you know, the Cleveland Indians deserve a pat on the back because they didn't make as many trades this season. Okay. Who cares? They're all playing baseball. Did they win?
Yeah. It's silly. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to say on that topic?
Nah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would think that if they did need some help, you know, on bolstering that part of their division, right? Their games division, like obviously Microsoft needed to happen. You know, I would think they would probably get some, you know, essentially keep it in the family, kind of like what Sony did, where essentially they would essentially acquire the studios that they have already been working with for years, you know, like Retro Studios or, you know, the guys doing, you know, Mercury Steam, who did Metroid. Yeah. But I feel like in general, I don't think that they feel that they're at the point that they need to do something like that. So I don't think that's what I'm thinking. That's partially why I don't think they're not doing it. They're like, they may not have the capital to get a big old company like Activision, but picking up some of their smaller studios and essentially taking them off the market, I think they just sort of like, eh, you know what? If we lose them, we lose them. We'll just hand it over to the one of our other trusted studios or bring it internally. I think when it starts to become a danger, you know, when they start seeing like, oh man, we really need, these development costs are getting so stupid, we need to really have something in here. Maybe that is the point that they'll start saying, okay, maybe we need to start actually getting some of these guys in-house and doing some more. But I don't think it doesn't seem like there's any, you know, they don't, at least at this point in time, it doesn't seem like they're in the market to be picking up studios left and right. Yeah. But then again, you know, we'll see.
All right. Bliss says, I think the pat on the back comment was in relation to the crew. Okay. I don't get that.
Should we give them a pat on the back?
I'm not giving them a pat on the back for that.
I mean, like, well, I don't understand. You know? I'm not giving any of these people a pat on the back. Why should I?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so we should give them a pat on the back.
Congratulations for making fucking money. Give them a
pat on the back because they don't have enough money to buy other studios. What?
I think it was being
or give them a pat on the back that their first party offering.
Yeah, I wish J-Chef was here so he could explain this. I'm like, you know,
I don't know.
Nobody deserves to earn a pat on the back. If they are doing their jobs right, they get money. Right, they get our money specifically. That's the pat on the back. We don't need to be here singing the praises of anyone. If they have earned our money, then they're doing something right.
That's the pat on the back. getting money.
Yeah, there you go. All right,
the money.
All right, one subset. Been a while, man. Been a while since you asked some questions here. When is Baldur's Gate 3 coming to Xbox? Has a date been set? No, not yet. Just 2023. That's all we got.
I mean, there's only at least two and a half months.
Two and a half months.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's still just 2023. So who knows, bro? He also asks us what our top five contenders for Game of the Year are. Let's save that question for later, you know?
Let's save that for later.
Let's save that for, you know, the actual end of the year.
When I've actually played a game from
Yeah, exactly. And also because I want to, there's a certain game that I can't talk about yet, you know, for like another 10 hours.
Same here.
Yeah, you know. And also some games games I still need to play, like Baldur's Gate 3 and Starfield, you know. And there's another one that's out that's like, oh, I should play that. Alan Wake 2. I want to play that. Yep. Yeah. So we'll come back to that question.
When's that coming?
I think it's this coming month, out. Yeah, this month. Yeah. For spooky season.
Why am I sounding like a vampire? I'm debating on that one. I kind of like Control better than Alan Wake. Yeah.
I still need to play Alan Wake.
They might put Control mechanics in this new game.
Yeah, maybe, Manny.
I never liked the whole double shooty thing. Like, hey, look, you throw your mic, then you shoot him, then you throw the light, then you throw the shoot. Now, can I just shoot him?
Like, yo, you just shoot him.
Can I use my mental psychic powers to throw them?
Why can't you put a flashlight on the gun, you know?
Alan,
where's the flashlight on the gun? Come on, like, why do you have to have a flashlight and a gun? Just go.
This is Doom 3. Remember that shit in Doom 3? You had to have the flashlight and then the gun. It's
That was stupid.
Yeah. Silly.
Sam Lake, can Alan Wake do something that no other video game character has ever done before? Stick his flashlight onto his gun?
Yeah. Can't you craft that shit?
He needs a Phantasm 2 moment when the guy found the shotgun and then he found another shotgun and he just welds them together.
Hey, there you go, man. Let me go to the crafting table, you know.
It's
a video game.
The quad barrel.
Yeah, man, there you go.
Hey, Alan, can you write that? He decided to walk over to the crafting table and combine the flashlight that weakens the hiss. It's not the hiss, is it? What's the name of the bad guys in Alan Wake?
Yeah, the hiss is from Control.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
This is from Control. Whatever.
I don't know. The shadow creatures.
Those shadow men.
Yeah.
to defeat the shadow men.
That's funny. All right. Next up, another question here from One Subset. Now that the Activision Blizzard deal is done, what old franchises would you like to see make a comeback, or what current franchises would you like to see change?
Ooh.
I wrote an editorial related to this, and in one section I said, here's some franchises that could come back or at least compete. I'm like, even though I didn't like the games, I think, because I like the concept, it's just the execution wasn't well. I think they could bring Prototype back. It's like, hey, here's our answer. Think about it, for Microsoft, here's our answer to Spider-Man, a video game, a superhero game set in New York City. And it's like, but our New York is one-to-one, you know? And if they want a GTA successor, bring back True Crime. You know, you could bring that back.
Yeah. They have True Crime, but they don't have the other one.
No, they don't have that one. They don't have Streets of Hong Kong.
A True Crime game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that, by the way, Streets of Hong Kong is the original name. I forgot what the new name is.
I don't know. The one company that essentially Square Enix kept pushing for a while.
Yeah.
Until they sold it. Was that a Crystal Dynamics game?
I believe it was, yeah.
Oh, okay. So that now belongs to...
Yeah, help us out in the chat. Sleeping Dogs, thank you.
Sleeping Dogs, yes. Yeah,
the original name. What got stuck in my head, True Crime Streets of Hong Kong, you know?
They have so many things that they could resurrect or even just put out again. Like, okay, realize that all of a lot of the older Marvel games were all Activision games. For the sake of conversation, if Microsoft got a temporary license for maybe not a new Spider-Man game, but to put out all the ones from before, that's interesting.
Yeah, they had a lot of good games. Remember, before the fucking Spider-Verse, remember they had that one where you played as different Spider-Man from different dimensions? Shattered Dimensions. Yeah. That game was Shattered great. You know?
Yeah, you had Shattered Dimensions. You had one of the, you know, you could put out Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man was pretty good, too.
Spider-Man wasn't half bad.
Yeah.
You know, you could get a classic game like a thing where you have Marvel Ultimate Alliance, like the older ones, maybe even though not, I think that last one was done by Capcom.
Yeah,
there's so many things that you could sort of go back and
X-Men Legends and sort of get, would be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd enjoy that if they brought those back.
If Microsoft needs Uncharted, they could literally make a new game with the original guy, the Uncharted guy. You know, with Pitfall Henry or Harry, you could literally just call it Pitfall and just totally take it down that Uncharted route.
Yeah.
You could even hire Nolan North to play him.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I just realized there's one question here that I need to save till next week because Brian's not here. It's specifically towards him, you know, about his hatred for Nolan North and Troy Baker. but I'll save that for next week since Brian's not here. What about franchises they could... change. Maybe they could fix Diablo 4.
They could fix Diablo. They could bring out maybe resurrect StarCraft Ghost if they want a stealth game.
Your Carlos fix Heroes of the Storm.
Man, I've been clamoring that for years, man.
Bring back fucking
Rayman.
Well, that's Ubisoft.
Oh, wait, not Rayman. You can't bring it back. That's Ubisoft. Yeah. Sorry, you can't bring back Rayman.
Yeah,
that's Ubisoft. Bring that back.
Yo, Ubisoft.
I was just thinking about the irony of how they have their own Souls game with Activision, Sekiro.
Yeah, although there's a little bit of a caveat there. It's published by Activision. Yeah.
They could bring that back. I was thinking the irony of them. The games that they own like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon, both like former, you know, considered PlayStation mascots.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of stuff.
There's a whole lot of games that they could go for.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? Any games you want them to bring back or fix? Activision Blizzard games?
It would be nice to, I loved, it's an old school Activision game, Blackthorn. That game, I love that game.
Yeah. The one with the Jim Lee cover? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love that game. It's a side scroller, though. I mean, you could do something else with it, but bring that back.
Oh, here's one. Hey, Carlos, this is my shout out to the Warzone Blur. You know, they could bring that back. we were playing Blur tonight. Yeah. Well, yeah, go ahead.
I'll say, release a sequel to World of Warcraft. Yeah. What are you waiting?
They
can
do that.
Yeah, right.
It's been 19 years already. God damn.
Yeah, shout out to our boy Mike. Warcraft 4. He used to love Warcraft 3. Warcraft. You know, that was his game. Yeah. You know, and then he got pissed off when it just became World of Warcraft. Like, what the fuck is this? Where's my RTS game? So yeah, they could do that.
Yeah, they just put all their eggs on the StarCraft basket after that, and now they don't even do that anymore.
Yo, man, bring it back. Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
Don't they? They never did Shadowrun, right? That wasn't them, was it?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay, but yeah, there's so many games that Activision has from like the classic era all the way up till now. So Microsoft, if they're smart, they could just take their pick. You know.
Yeah, throw it all on Game Pass, man.
Yeah, just throw it all on Game Pass, and then you know, to pick a couple of them to do the remake treatment, right?
Yeah,
but you know, obviously,
I mean,
oh, go ahead.
They got like Crash Bandicoot and
Spyro. Crash Bandicoot and Spyro. You know, they could literally they've already. It's so funny. Oh, you know what else they own? Because they bought Universal Games, Way of the Warrior.
Oh no. That's funny.
Because that was a Universal Games game. So yeah, they own Way of the Warrior. They ever want to bring that one back?
Yeah, I don't think Naughty Dog will care. You know,
Naughty Dog will give a shit.
That's funny. All right, man. Moving on here. Who we have next? Kid Shaq, who's in the house tonight. What's going on, brother? First question here: do you think Xbox will have its let me just read it. You think Xbox will have its Last of Us moment like PlayStation had during the end of the PS3 era, this generation, to level up in front of the gaming audience so that people would take Xbox more seriously? I don't think that's going to happen this generation.
I don't know. I don't know, because it's like, you got to remember, like, it takes like,
yeah,
it's close to, like, development for a modern game takes close to 5 years.
Yeah.
So like, hopefully, you know, a lot of the games that they've all said that they're in the pipeline will actually all finally release by then. But we're on year three right now, and they've only just acquired, you know, Activision and ZeniMax.
No, was that they already started, you know? Yeah, that was a year ago or a year and whatever.
It was a year ago, but that's not enough time to. That's still a bunch of titles that were all in development before they even touched Microsoft.
Yeah.
We don't see those games that are actually done under the Microsoft regime until 5 years after, at least 5 years after that they have acquired them.
Yeah, so it would have to be from an existing studio then. You know, because it won't be from these studios. And think about this: if that time frame is actually pretty accurate, that means that we're not going to see the real one of these games published until like the beginning of the next generation. By that time frame, you know, like a game that starts development right now, you're not going to see it until the beginning of next generation.
Yeah, unless it's some sort of smaller title.
Yeah,
like
The Last of Us, that's going to take a long time to make.
Yes, you know? Something to rival The Last of Us. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But again, like one thing about a lot of this is, again, like, Microsoft has all these companies making you know titles for them. One thing is that what is the Xbox identity right now? Like, what is it? I don't think Game Pass is their identity.
That's it. I'm just saying that like, they kind of lost their identity. Before, they used to be the dude bro, you know, identity, but they've lost that, you know?
Yeah, like, what happens when the dude bros have gone to the competition because they got everything on there?
Yeah.
So it's like, what was left? And I feel like a lot of that, they became so dependent on those few titles that they were developing, you know, the Halo and the Gears of War. They essentially they didn't have anything really open in there, and no middle A things to sort of be like, okay, this is what we're doing. I mean, they do have the little indie stuff. Like they had Ori on there, which was a really big one for them. But that was not, that's not a AAA budget game.
Blitz says, what about Hellblade 2? I was thinking about that. Maybe if the game's really, really good, it's possible.
You know? Mean, here's the weird, here's the interesting thing. So like Hellblade what originally functioned on the idea that they are an independent studio. Yeah. Ninja Theory was an independent studio doing an independent game that has a AAA look.
Yeah.
What is Hellblade 2 going to be? Is that a middle A game that's going to be that sort of idea, or is it just going to be another big budget game?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like that was what Hellblade existed as. It was their proof of concept that they could make an independently budget, you know, like a smaller game, but that looks like a really big super, like, you know, like again, like what they would have created for PlayStation or for Xbox,
yeah,
or for whoever else was publishing them.
So yeah, we'll see, but it's gonna take a long time to develop games, man. You know, judging from the reception, I don't think Fable, the new Fable, is going to be it. You know,
you look at like what all the games that were announced during when the console was revealed in 2020?
It was December 2019 during the VGAs.
Yeah, during the VGAs. So all those games on that listing that they just showed there, that was like 4 years ago. So theoretically, Hellblade should be coming around next year. And all the games, a bunch of the games that they showed in that sizzle reel should be coming around next year.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, that's been a problem with Xbox. They don't really have a game that matches anything that Sony's been putting in terms of popularity, you know?
But I like Manny, where the standard now is 4 to 5 years in development after it's been announced.
After it's been announced, because I definitely feel like in those situations, those things. What did you see of Hellblade, the new Hellblade? You just saw some cinematics. You barely saw any sort of gameplay in there.
Yeah.
Maybe her running, the second trailer in 2020 they showed, where her running around and the big ogre in the distance.
That's the one they showed the most, actually, because they showed one this year, and it was like just like her losing her mind, and it was like showing off the facial
stuff, like kind of pretty much like the same sort of promotion they did with the previous one. We're like, hey, look, we can make real people. Hey,
yeah.
Look like real.
Make them real.
They can make them look like real.
He's so real.
So Xbox fans, you should be totally screaming for where's our Souls game? Sekiro 2.
Yeah, right. There you go. All right.
Isn't that an Activision game?
That's Activision, yeah.
There it is. Activision.
Published by Activision, you know.
Published by Activision. But yeah. I mean, I think they own the rights to Sekiro, so
there you go, Microsoft.
There you go. What if you made like an open, essentially an open world version of Sekiro, whereas essentially it's, you know, what they did with Elden Ring. Samurai and Oni and shit. That might be cool.
Yeah, could be interesting. All right, next question here from Mr. Kishak. If Xbox remains in third place in the next generation after acquiring so many publishers this generation, would you consider buying all these publishers pointless?
It's not pointless because they could still parlay that into Windows stuff in general. It's not a loss at all.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, again, like even if they decide to wipe the floor with all the studios, essentially close down every single one of those studios, that doesn't mean that they still own the rights to all those franchises. So they can literally just farm it out to somebody else.
Yeah. So you don't have to just like, because people go, you got to make their money back. Like they don't have to do it directly by game sales. They could do it other ways, you know?
Yeah, they could do it other ways. Here's the thing, like if Xbox, as we know it, totally, utterly fails, it doesn't matter because their cards are in the software game, having your service.
Yeah.
And even if the service goes on the wayside, they still can publish those games. They'll just be PC games, or they could maybe publish them some other way. But other than that, they still have the quote unquote exclusivity, because it's still all the same platform. Microsoft Xbox is running on a version of Windows. It's all Windows based stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and again, it's hard to judge Xbox's success in comparison to the others now, because they're kind of playing by different rules. Not just hardware and software sales specifically. It's like everything now. It's like subscriptions really the measure of success for them now. You know.
Yeah, like how many subscriptions are they getting? Are there these games that they're okaying getting things? And again, the thing about it is that also it's not the end for a lot of these games that were classically PC games. PC players will still be playing it, right?
Yep. Blitz says aren't Bethesda and Activision Blizzard under Microsoft rather than Xbox? So if Xbox fails, they could still run those two as business. I want to bring this up because this is a conversation I saw in the chat where they were saying, how come the acquisition was made under Xbox and you know, why was it not made under Xbox? I'm like, that's a weird question because Microsoft owns it all. Like, Xbox is not going to buy
Well, the thing is, okay, so like the way Sony functions, right? The PlayStation division is not fully connected to Sony itself. It's a sub company.
Yeah, but it's not how Microsoft. It's not how Xbox.
That's
works.
Not how Microsoft does. Yeah. That's not how Microsoft works. Microsoft. It doesn't seem like they made any sort of offshoot companies unlike Sony, where essentially every single division is considered its own company. Like PlayStation, what is it? It's called PlayStation Now, or is that what it is? PlayStation Now.
The subscription service?
A streaming service. Yeah. The subscription streaming service. That thing is actually considered its own company.
Yeah.
As a separate from PlayStation itself.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Why
Sony
they have
doesn't
to make
weird
these,
like that, yeah.
They break all of their companies, they break a lot of their companies into these sub companies as opposed to making them into divisions.
Yeah.
I like to push back because they are under Xbox. Bethesda and Cinemax. They're under Xbox Game Studio, which is the umbrella over all of their divisions that have to do with Xbox. So see, Phil Spencer is the direct superior to what's his name, to Todd Howard and Pete Hines.
But Carlos, you saw that conversation too in Discord, did you? Where guys were asking like, why was it that Microsoft bought him? Why wasn't that Xbox bought him? Like you saw, I don't know if you saw that conversation because Jay Shep was asking that question specifically.
Well, it's one and the same. It's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, Xbox is going to pay out the money. It's like, no, it's one company. It's one bank. Like,
they're not separated into like a separate company, like the way
Sony has separate companies. Like for example, they have PlayStation, but they'll also have the Endzone line, which is also gaming, but they're separate divisions. You know,
Microsoft
doesn't really do that. You know,
Blitz ask, isn't Phil head of Microsoft Gaming rather than Xbox? They can rename that to Xbox Gaming.
Yeah. But again, Microsoft, it's all the same, you know?
It's all the same. And I think that's possibly why it's so difficult to separate a lot of the rigmarole of their different companies.
Yeah.
Chris, am I get this right? When you get the earnings report, you get a specific PlayStation one, right?
No, it's for Sony Global. It's all of them. Yeah. Mm. And they break it down by each division. So pictures, music, imaging, electronics, PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft, though, is a huge cash report. And like you said, it's one company. When Microsoft makes an acquisition, even though they give it over to a division, right? Like say it has something to do with cloud architecture. They give it over to Azure and whoever runs Azure. I don't know who runs it. It's Activision or Bethesda. It goes under Xbox Game Studios.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, what are we up to now? Dumeke, a.k.a. Blitz. Get to your question, sir. As we say now, as we are now in the spooky month of October, what is your favorite, all-time favorite horror scary game and why?
I got Tony, can you answer for me?
Actually, I don't know your answer. Is it PT?
No.
Okay, I don't know, actually.
Is it So it's technically not my favorite, but it's like one of my most memorable. And it's Friday the 13th for the
NES. Yeah, shit, that's right. Yeah, I should have known that. Man, yeah, the obvious one, yeah.
That's the obvious one. I just, you know, I have good memories. You know, I was, I don't know, I was like 2 or 3. I don't know. It was crazy, a young age. It's just crazy, man. It, you know, it the music gets scary sounding when as a kid, and then Jason pops out of nowhere in random places. Like, you always have to be on your toes. So shout out to that game. Yeah, I had good experiences with it, even though it's just a bunch of doors.
Yeah, but I got to read this comment from Barry Byrne real quick about the last question. Activision was founded by Atari programmers that walked out because they wanted to own the rights to the games they made. Activision is now owned by Microsoft, and Microsoft is now owns the rights to all those games. The circle is complete, and he has an emoji of the emperor.
Yep, the there you go.
Yeah, it's true.
That's funny. What is my favorite scary game? There's a few of them, but the one I want to say right now is... the first Dead Space. That shit was scary, man. Good stuff, you know? But PT is probably the most horrifying game I ever played. I was in a room with like 7 of you guys. It was me, Manny, you know, like a bunch of guys. I was still scared shitless.
Yeah, Jen. Yeah, yeah, it was all of us.
I was still like, nah, I don't know. It's just scary, scary, you know? I'm not even playing it. And I'm like, nah, that's scary. Too much, you know?
Yeah, we never, I mean, again, like the thing about that game is never really clear. Like fully on how to do things on that game. Well, you scream at the controller in some fashion and then it happens, right? Yeah.
Well, we managed to beat it. We were like looking shit up on, but it's funny because we're looking up answers and there's like different, there's like 5 different answers for everything.
Yeah, you there's know? Different answers. Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, what's yours?
One of the previous favorite ones was me and, you know, I wish Adam was here, but. The previous one was Castlevania 2. Now I remember us playing that at night, and you know, like being, it was at the day is was it the day is replaced by the cursed night or whatever it says, you know, and you're like, oh fuck, and then all the whole town turns, like all the zombies take over, the monsters take over the town and all that stuff. But modern games, you know, it's funny because I haven't played a horror game in a long time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like I would only really just name like older games, like, you know, Resident Evil 1 and 2 and Parasite Eve for PlayStation. But I haven't played any modern sort of horror games in a long time.
Yeah. Of course, I got another one for us, man. Alien Isolation, man. That shit was scary.
Holy shit. I almost pissed myself.
You know?
And from the fucking alien getting the locker, like, don't see me, don't see me.
Yeah. And Resident Evil, Resident Evil 7, right? With the fucking, with the VR specifically. Oh, fuck! That was scary. And Brett, I got one for you, man. Dying Light? When you run away from the fucking zombies at night?
Oh, when you look over your shoulder?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, Brett, they just have this button there to scare the shit out of you, you know?
Dude, that's the only reason that button fucking exists, and I still have beef with it. what do you mean there's a button to look behind you? Like, yeah, don't press it. We're like, what do you mean don't press it? Like, yeah, it's gonna fuck you up, man. Like, you're gonna press it, and you're gonna get fucked up when a zombie's chasing you, and you're like, why is the button there then? Like, you're getting chased by zombies, and you're like, oh, I should.
No, it's fantastic, because you think you're awesome when you're parkouring a run, and then you hit that button and realize that motherfucker is breathing down your neck, and you're like, oh, shit, no. That was interesting.
But the second, and you, like, release the button, and you're like, guess what, wall, bitch. And you're like, oh, god damn it.
And then you die.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So
like, the entire time you're running, you're like, oh god, is it behind me? Is it right behind me? I feel like it's right behind me. Should I press the button? Don't press the button. Don't you dare press that button.
Oh, man.
Other thing, like, honestly, like, it's horror is such a hard thing to pin down. Like, if you really want to distill, like, feeling of hopelessness, awe, and just like, oh god, what is that? What is going on now? Where am I? Oh no, like, the original Dark Souls, like, I despaired so hard in the original Dark Souls. I know it's not a horror game, but god damn, it felt like one.
I think you could make an argument that From Software games are very horrifying because you're afraid of losing all your progress. You know?
You know what? I'll put on my answer. I'll put a fucking, what's that one? Bloodborne. There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty terrifying. But yeah, no, there is, that's a real terror. It's like, you got to be careful because if this motherfucker kills me, I'm going to lose everything. That is genuinely horrifying, you know?
Yeah, like palm sweating and shit.
Yep, I'm telling you, this shit is intense, you know? So yeah, good stuff, good answers. All right, next one from Mr. Blitz. This year alone, PlayStation is going to release a slim refresh, PS Portal, DualSense Edge controller, new line of headphones, gaming monitors, and an updated PS Plus that now includes movies. Is Sony positioning Is Sony positioning PlayStation as a more premium Apple gaming brand in the face of the bargain Android offering from Xbox with its Series X and Game Pass? My use of bargain may trigger some, but I only use it in the face of the best deal in gaming slogan people love to throw around for Game Pass and the much cheaper Series S. And for context, DualSense Edge has been a huge seller, and PSP Place and Portal sold out in multiple countries. So there you go, Manny. What were you gonna say?
The monitors is not under the
That's under End Zone division. Same thing with the headphones, I believe.
That's under End Zone.
Yeah, it's under
End Zone. So you can't officially count that.
Yeah. So.
Oh, go ahead.
No. But everything else counts. The slim refresh, PS Portal, DualSense, and PS and the updated PS Plus.
I will say this about the PlayStation Portal. The fact that it's sold out doesn't mean a thing, because it just means that they could have put up, because they knew the strength of the product, they didn't make a lot.
It just
means that they toe dipped, just like what they're doing with the PlayStation VR. Didn't that thing sell out too?
Initially, I think it did. Don't quote us on that though.
Don't quote us on that. But officially, like, I think again, like, I don't think they know the strength of whatever that product is. And if you notice the way it's built, it doesn't even have it. Like, if they were to ever remove it as part of their ecosystem, it doesn't matter, because they didn't even make a full investment in it. All it is just a remote play device.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
You pretty much can do remote play on your phone. So the only thing that they're offering is two weak controllers on the side of a phone screen. But anyway.
But yeah, the heart of the question is, you know, because of all these products, is Sony positioning PlayStation to be a, you know, premium gaming brand? I mean, they've been releasing a bunch of different hardware for years, though. So
yeah, they have been doing a lot of hardware for years. But the thing is that, like, what you mean premium as in actually really legitimately costing those things, or making you believe that they are putting out something premium? Because I see a lot of people talking about, oh, this is premium, this is this, and this is that. If you're using Xbox, if you think Xbox is the best deal in gaming, you're a cheap person who doesn't need, you know, who needs to get another job. It sounds like a lot of people are trying to make excuses for the fact that a company is trying to overcharge them for things.
Yeah.
That's exactly
what I'm talking about. By the way, real quick, we're not saying you're like that, Blizz. We're not saying you. We're saying other people.
We're not saying you're like, but it's just a lot of talk that's like that we see a lot of people online essentially saying that, oh, you know, if you think this is a, you know, how did PlayStation, you know, for those of you who don't remember, how did PlayStation get out there and become the thing?
Well, word of mouth.
$299.
Yeah.
$299.
Yeah, that's right.
Cheapest console on the next generation console that was cheaper than the competition.
Yeah. By the way, Blitz agrees that all that talk about, like, oh, I'm a premium gamer because I buy more expensive, he thinks that's a bunch of bullshit too. You know,
it's a bunch of bull. It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's elitist bullshit, you know, like, oh, you're too poor. You're so poor. You have to subscribe to Game Pass. Like, you've seen people say this shit, you know,
it's silly. But like, here's the thing. Like, I would have to say one thing. The fact that they're being smart, because they realize that they own, you know, they have all these different departments that literally should be intertwined. Why can't you buy a Sony Films on a PlayStation console that is produced by Sony?
Yeah.
This is shit that we've been talking about for years, where it's like, okay, you have yourself this separated platform and this separated platform and this one. Why can't you get all of those things to work together?
Yeah, I don't know. Brett, what were you going to say before about the whole, you know, premium angle?
Just that, you know, the heart of my answer is yes, that Sony very much is trying to establish themselves as the luxury brand in their relative space. Because I think that's what he's asking. Like, and it's, there are companies that make a name for themselves for being ubiquitous with certain technologies. There are certain companies that make their name for kind of heralding new technologies or just saturating a market completely, or it was like the approach of, hey, we're going to try and offer you, the esteemed gamer, the most luxury gaming experience. Like that's definitely like the angle Sony is taking. It's the same Apple or angle Apple was taking. Like you're paying for an experience, and usually that's like this kind of high design kind of thing. It's the direction that Sony has been taking lately that I don't personally appreciate. It's also the direction Samsung has been going lately, which I also don't appreciate. Sony isn't in 100%, but for, you know, I think the question is when we talk about premium, because premium is so overused, but like, I would say if you look at it from the angle of like, is Apple the most luxury computer slash phone product? Like, yeah, I would say.
I disagree with that. Microsoft, like their first Surface laptops and tablets are like shit. They don't have phones anymore, so I disagree with that one, you know?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, you said Microsoft has luxury lap. You said they have luxury like laptops and stuff like
No, I didn't. Yeah. No, I didn't.
Okay, so what did you say? Because that's what I heard. Like, and phones. Like,
I have no fucking. Like, I said it's Sony.
Yeah. Sony doesn't have any laptops right now that I know of.
I don't know what you're talking about. You just heard something.
Okay, man. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, continue, sir.
I was just saying, like, I was saying Apple it presents themselves as luxury computer product.
Yeah.
And as such, like, Sony wants to present themselves as the luxury gaming product, which is, it's kind of natural when you are, again, the leader, you hold this much market share, of course your brand is going to be, we are the most, what is a word for ever-present? It's on the tip of my goddamn tongue. Like, ever-present, saturated.
Ever-present sounds like a pretty good word, though.
Okay, like, I think they're, you know,
dominant.
When you become, what's that?
Is that dominant? Maybe
we'll go. What's that?
In your face?
No, I'm looking for something that just means like it.
Zeitgeist.
Maybe it's you. It's not ubiquitous, is it?
It could be like if I mean that's what you. But ubiquitous means everywhere, you know.
That's kind of like what. Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking. Like. I think that's Sony's angle, luxury and ubiquitous. Like, where we are everywhere, we are the gaming. And that very much reminds me of Apple.
Yeah, I could see that. Even though, in my opinion, I don't think Sony releases, like, premium products on that scale. You know, they're not hideously overpriced like fucking Apple is, you know? Keyword hideously, you know? Hold on real quick.
Much smaller scale.
Yeah. But I see where you're coming from, though. Real quick. So Blitz clarified his question here. What I mean is Sony trying to position itself as the place to play in the face of Xbox buying up chunks of the market? So while they can't compete money-wise, maybe they want people to feel they are something special. That's an interesting view. Yeah.
Yes, that's 100% their angle. Like, yes, they want to say, like, and that's why they would never do a Game Pass kind of thing. And they've said that very blatantly. Like,
yeah,
it devalues the experience. They are ushering an experience that's not necessarily a hardware. It's not even necessarily software. It's that experience, that thing that they devalue.
I agree with that angle, you know. Sure. Yeah, I agree with that.
I guess so.
Yeah,
but I mean, again, we're also like to see how all of these things pan out. though I do see, I do like that they're actually offering, you know, they're combining their streaming, whatever streaming service thing they got going on, you know, for a lot of their films, you know, coming onto there. And then the fact that if you do are paying for the higher tier of PlayStation, you actually do get, you know, some stuff, you know, you get some, you know, they call it a curated bunch of movies, right?
Yeah.
But at least that's kind of cool. Like, at least they're like, hey, look, I really want to see Spider-Verse, and I got all these, and, you know, whenever Sony films come out in the future, you at least eventually might get them on their little service, which I think is fine. That, to be honest, again, why? That's what we were saying years ago. You have all these different things. Why aren't you combining them? Why isn't PlayStation Plus a part of, you know, getting, you know, PlayStation Now and their movie service a part of their PlayStation, that amount of money that they're getting, you know, the subscription service. Now, if they can only make their tiers a little less confusing,
right?
Yeah. Have you ever? I mean, maybe I'm the only one, but I've had this issue. Okay, so obviously, you know, this is a side note. You know how you have Essential, right? Everybody in here has Essential. We're not paying for the two higher tiers of PlayStation Plus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not anymore.
Can you legitimately find, because you're supposedly getting, you know, free games with PlayStation Essential, but can you legitimately find what those games are and, you know, like, suss out what they are between the two other tiers? Because every single time I try to look for that, I always see stuff that tries to push me toward the higher tiers and not the things that are in the tier that I'm currently in.
Oh yeah, they don't make it easy at all.
They don't make it easy at all. Like, there is no delineation as to what you like. In other words, like, let's say you go to there's no Essentials page and says, oh, here are all the Essentials things. Here are all the other ones. They throw them into one giant list, you know, whatever's new, and then they all have the little things there, but you can't really find out whatever the essential stuff is.
Or even then, like, they don't have it up easy in the menu, like, to mm-hmm. play the PlayStation Plus free game. Like, a lot of times you have to access it through the PlayStation Plus menu.
Yeah, the icon, and because I guess the 5, I haven't messed with the 5 yet, but like the four has that little PlayStation Plus logo on the corner. You go in there and then you can find all the stuff that you supposedly are supposed to get. But like, even there, it's sort of confusing.
Well, like, to find it out, like, I have to go to like the store section and then go to the PlayStation Plus section and then go to the PlayStation Plus like bonus, then freebies, mm-hmm. and like find the game like in that manner. Like, there's nowhere that really seems very easily to pop up, like, hey, your free game of the month is here. Press to download. Now, I could be wrong. It's been a minute since I've checked.
Yeah, I mean, at least that's the last time I checked on it, and that's really recent. Like, I don't even know what I got on here, like, anymore. It's, like, really difficult to suss any of that stuff. Anyway, that's my small complaint of the way they set their system up. But, you know, maybe everybody in our Discord will call me an idiot because I don't know.
I mean, I haven't checked or bothered. I think therein lies the problem. Like, Sony has explicitly stated that, hey, we're not going to devalue our experience by putting this kind of stuff on a streaming or a subscription service. Mm-hmm. So what you're telling me is you're just not going to put great good stuff on this, or like, I'm gonna get stuff that either is just meh or I've already played. Like, so cool, why would I even pay attention? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right,
anyway,
yeah, moving on. Toon Medic, Mr. Michael Santiago.
Santiago,
what's going on, brother? He also asked us what games, what Activision games we want brought back, so we answered that. So move on to his other question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to twist this one around because the way he asked it is not exactly like video game related. It starts off video game related, but then it doesn't. So I'm going to twist it around to make it video game related. With Spider-Man 2,
yo, man, you twisting?
Yeah. With Spider-Man 2 soon releasing, what is your favorite comic book superhero video game?
Oh, Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine. That's also Activision. That's by a high the one. Way.
The, yeah. That Wolverine game is all. But imagine if that new Wolverine game that comes out for Insomniac is pretty much like a better version of that Wolverine.
It has to be as brutal, X-Men though. Origins. It has to be brutal. Like, it can't be PG-13. Like, remember Wolverine's fucking chopping limbs off and shit. You know,
you literally got a guy with knives on his fist.
Yeah,
how is he gonna be able to? You know.
Didn't they make a point in the X-Men cartoon?
What happened?
Didn't Insomniac make a point that this is going to be a mature game?
Did they?
They did.
Okay, so that's good because we want to see. That is the standard now. You know that Wolverine game.
You know what'd be crazy if Insomniac somehow it's a minor thing, but it'd be pretty sick. You know, Wolverine can heal himself. It'd be cool, like if he gets scratched up like all crazy and then just throughout like. Just walking around, he starts healing himself.
That's what happened in the Wolverine game, you know?
That's what happened in that game.
He's running around with like fucking chunks of meat missing, and then you see it just slowly growing back as you're moving around, you know?
Yeah, like he had like an awesome damage system.
Yeah. That's why he was running around with his shirt off the whole time, so he could see all that shit.
Yeah, he had that little tank. He had that tank top.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. The tank top got all fucked. Even the tank top healed up.
Yeah.
Video games, you know.
But it was like cool. Like you see the blood. You could see it like closing up on him. Like whatever way that they had it set up.
Yeah.
Comic book video games. I mean, the Hulk Ultimate Destruction one was a very good one.
Yeah.
Brett,
just say Infamous, man.
I mean, definitely Infamous, but I wanted to say, like, quick sidebar on the Wolverine thing. Like, have you guys heard the theory that Wolverine's true power is that he's a dimensional or a wormhole to a dimension of meat?
I've heard that silliness. That's funny.
Oh no, I don't want to hear anything about dimensions or multiverses ever again.
No. It's not even that. It's just Wolverine constantly heals, and Wolverine can heal even if you like take a large chunk out of him. Yeah. He just kind of regenerates, which means that Wolverine can get mass. So Wolverine can either break the rules of physics and regenerate mass from nothing. Or he gets the mass from somewhere else, which means that Wolverine is a very small point in this dimension of what is otherwise an infinite dimension of meat. And anytime he gets wounded, it just pulls that the meat through the back end of the wormhole and regenerates on his side. He's like an iceberg.
Wolverine's healing power is quantum based. And it literally returns him to a state which is earlier in his being.
Oh, I like that one too.
That's funny. Yeah.
Just shit. Okay. I figured we had time.
Yeah, no,
Deadpool
that's
had baby fun. Arms though. Remember he had a baby arm when he grew his arm back in the movie.
A baby arm.
Yeah, Deadpool did that, didn't he?
Yeah,
he had a baby arm.
Legs.
Well, there's actually a difference between Wolverine's abilities. Wolverine can heal wounds back, but he can't heal any limbs back. So if you chopped his head off, he'd be dead.
Even though it'd be hard to do that because he has the adamantium skeleton, which is unbreakable.
He has the adamantium skeleton. But yeah, like theoretically, if you chopped his... like, so that's why Wolverine in the X-Men... Age of Apocalypse, when his arm got melted off or whatever happened to it?
Yeah.
His hand got melted off. It never grew back because he doesn't have that ability. Not like Deadpool. Deadpool, you could literally chop parts of him off and they'll grow back.
Yeah.
That was the big difference between their healing abilities.
Yeah, because I think in like one, this is Ultimate, so, you know, not canon. Like Hulk ripped him in half, but Wolverine, you know, they put the two parts together and then he like healed himself up, you know?
Well, so see, that's the thing. Like Wolverine, you can kill him that way. Like, in other words, you can pull him apart. But if you were able to get all the pieces together, they would close back up again.
Yeah,
because he was still healing.
Just pretty interesting.
But yeah.
Anyway, let me go down the line here. Manny, go ahead. Since you're
video
talking.
Games.
Yeah, favorite superhero video game.
Oh man, you know, like
didn't you say Hulk already?
Yeah, you said Hulk. Yeah.
I said it was a good one. Okay. No, I mean, to be honest, like my favorite superhero game was the Spider-Man 2 game, you know, from back in the day.
Back in the day, Activision.
That was a the Activision game, like the what they did with that game was just like, wow, like how is it? And again, like just playing that new Spider-Man, the one, the recent ones, is just like, you know, they really got that feeling and then plus. So I'll go with the Activision one first.
Yeah. Chris.
Oh, well, I mean, that would be an old answer until the Arkham Asylum games came out. So I'd have to say Batman makes it for me. The fighting in there is like second to none.
The Arkham games. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a damn good trilogy, too.
It was. Yeah.
All three games. Really good.
Yeah. That's kind of my answer. Specifically Arkham City. Fuck, man.
Oh, so fantastic.
Good.
Yeah.
So good, you know? And again, the reason those games succeeded is because in previous Batman games, it's like, okay, let's put Batman in a fighting game. Let's put Batman in a racing game. This one's like, okay, what does Batman do? What gameplay mechanics facilitate that? And that's why it worked, you know?
Yeah, the fear thing.
Yeah, the fear, you know, the stealth, the detective stuff, the combat, you know. And I love how it was a more, like, mature version of the animated series. Like, that Batman was rough, you know. Kevin Conroy was really bringing it, you know, in those games. It's like, yeah, Batman, you fucking nasty now, you know.
You know, those games were always T for team, right?
Yeah, I believe so. But, like, you know, they got really, more stuff.
It definitely... Yeah, it definitely felt like it was pushing that rating because, like, they felt, you know, I guess that's a testament to how well the Rocksteady and those guys and, you know, Paul Dini and those guys put that game together, because it definitely felt like a more adult Batman, even though
because game. They had Professor Pig in there, but he was a serial killer.
Yeah, he was a serial killer, yeah.
You find the bodies and stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that one may have been M for mature shit, you know? I got to look at the ratings.
No, I mean, all the Arkham games were T, right?
Yeah. And I also got to make the caveat. My answer may change by next week for no apparent reason. But, you know, we won't talk about that. Carlos, favorite superhero game?
Also, my opinion might change in the next couple of days.
You know?
But I will say... Spider-Man 2018.
Those games, like Spider-Man 2018 and the Miles Morales game, to me, those are better than any of the Spider-Man movies released in the last, like, 10 years or whatever, you know? Easily.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a, like, sort of a push forward on those sorts of, same sort of ideas. Well, it's weird because, like, I feel like the first Spider-Man game is literally, like, a remake of Spider-Man 2, the movie.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But with a couple of different characters in it. Yeah, well, no Green Goblin in it, you know? Oh, wait a minute. You know, there was no Green Goblin. It was Dr. Octopus.
There was voice.
Yeah, so yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah, Carlos, yeah, good shout out on that. Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man, I mean, it just the web-slinging mechanics alone was worth the price of admission.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Brett, favorite superhero video game?
DC Universe.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
Oh, the online game.
Yeah.
Which is still on.
It's great. It still exists. It's just super dated. But I will say, other than, like, Spider-Man, that game has the greatest superhero locomotion in any game. It also, like...
That flying is second to none till this day, man.
Dude, they nailed the flying mechanics.
Like, dude, I made a bunch of different characters. I made sure every single one of them flew. I'm like, I can't let this mechanic go. It's too good, you know?
Yeah, I know. It feels right. Like, you're like, dude, it's like Spider-Man. You're like, yeah, this is what it would feel like.
Yeah. And, Brett, that's the specific game that taught me, Tony, don't play MMOs because they will eat your face, man. I played that shit heavily for a while. It's like, okay, I need my life back. You know?
Dude, it's so good. Even the premise of, like, yep, chaos broke out of the city. So you get to be a newly formed superhero or supervillain. You're just like, oh, shit. And, like, the missions that you did, like, you're like, hey, go rob this bank. And then the superheroes, their mission was like, hey, go stop this bank robbery. So the great thing was, like, I don't know about the superheroes, but literally as a supervillain, every time you're like, hey, I'm going to go do this mission. You go do the mission, beat up a bunch of guards or something like that, grab something, and then turn around. And there's some fucking do-gooder player standing there being like, aha, I've caught you. And you're like, motherfucker, I am just trying to rob this bank. And every time I do, you come running up on me trying to stop me. Why? Just let me get away with it. And they're like, no, in the name of justice, I will defeat. And you're like, motherfuck. Yeah. It felt so comic booky.
Yeah, that was a fun game. Definitely a better version of remember City of Heroes from back in the day? That was the first MMO I tried, and that was kind of fun for back in the day.
So by the way, DC Universe Online is coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X this holiday season. Speaking of that game.
Can't you play it now? The game's on PS4.
You can play it on PS4, but like an upgraded version of it.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Like, that game's been available. Fixing it. Yeah.
Still fun time enough. Coming.
Yeah, cool.
They need to make a sequel.
They made this announcement in August, by the way.
Interesting. So it's getting a PS5 facelift.
Yep, it's getting a PS5 facelift. So, yeah. Talk about longevity. How long has that thing been around?
It's been a while.
2011. The initial release date was 2011.
Crazy. Yeah. All right, man. That's it. We're done with Throwdown for the right questions for this week. Good stuff. Carlos, what's going on with I'm Negan's?
Yeah. I Am Negan is a podcast that we do on thecoalition.com, the coalition with a K, or the coalition. YouTube, where we talk the coalition. We talk everything and anything. The Walking Dead, and currently, and it's up right now, is the review for the season finale for the Daryl Dixon show. We go over the finale, give our thoughts. It was 6 episodes long, and it's already over, and we have Fear the Walking Dead next week. So right back at it, and then we got the Rick and Michonne show. I forgot what the actual name is, but that's going to come out early next year in February, I believe. So yeah, make sure to check it out. I Am Negan on The Coalition or thecoalition.com.
Good stuff, man. Somebody.
Oh, Tony.
Yeah, what's up?
This is something to talk post show, but I heard rumblings from Rich about you being involved in.
Oh, thank you for reminding me, because that is something that's also related to Throwdown. You know. So yes, I participated. I recorded. Gamertag Radio episode with Danny and Paris, where we talked about Spider-Man 2, since we all have beaten it. No spoilers, so you can go in, listen to it. We made sure not to spoil anything for you guys. And obviously, since Spider-Man 2 comes out on Friday this week, we will have, for the next episode, 457, we're going to have Richard Bailey on to do a Spider-Man special, just like we did with Starfield, you know?
Oh, yes.
So that'll be a lot of fun to talk about the game. But obviously, you can listen to the Gamertag Radio episode and our episode. No spoilers. We're not going to ruin it for you guys. We're just going to do our best to get you hyped for it, you know? But yeah, it'll be good stuff. So go check that out. By the time you're listening, the Gamertag Radio episode may be up. The embargo for you guys who are listening live lifts at 10 a.m. October 16th. So, look out for that. So yeah, even though I didn't review the game, we do have the review up on Tom's Guide, so go check that out. And I will share my thoughts, obviously, on social media, and I will be doing an op-ed on it, for release date. So I'm definitely going to be writing something on it regardless. So it'll be good to finally tell you guys what I think, because I've been just, you know, holding tight. I'm like, I can't say nothing, you know, unlike these fucking influencers actually, like, you know, adhere to the embargo, you know. So that's what we do around here, man. Play by the rules, baby, you know. I will tell you guys this, though. Yes, I did finish the game, and I'll leave it at that, you know. We'll tell you more tomorrow. Good stuff. Although I'm like, oh, what controversy are people going to dredge up? Let's see what happens, you know. I will say this about the game, though. Not a spoiler. They got puddles.
What?
They got puddles, and they're glorious.
What are you talking about, man?
It's fucking ridiculous. Remember that Puddlegate bullshit, man? People are stupid, man. They make up anything. Remember fucking Insomniac? They added a filter to make puddles hide, like, you know, stand out even more. They knew what was up. They knew what was up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned for my views on the game. It's going to be fun. So yeah, we'll have Richard Bailey on talk about it. Although I suspect there may not be as much controversy surrounding that game, because you kind of know what you're getting and stuff. But, you know, we'll see. We'll have a nice long discussion.
Yo, man, you getting Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Spider-Man?
Yeah, Spider-Man, you know. Anyway, we're done here. What's up?
Wait, one last thing. So Spider-Man 3, does that mean that next Spider-Man game is going to have 3 Spider people in it? Because this one was Spider-Man 2 is 2 Spider-Men. The next one's got to be 3 Spider-Men. Where's the third one?
They'll put Spider-Gwen in there. Because she's in the movies, right? She's popular because of Spider-Verse.
She's in a Spider-Verse, so maybe they'll put Miguel O'Hara, like, out for the future, man.
Cool.
Miguel.
Yeah, Miguel. All right, people, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on every podcast app on the planet by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Right, people, you already know, man. We will see you on Thursday. Yes, Mighty Nerd, Manny will be getting his PS5, so stay tuned for that.
Well, not then.
Yeah, but he will be getting a PS5, all right, people, we will see you on Thursday. Spider-Man special coming up later.
Later, people.